If you're putting your podcast onto YouTube, then this episode is going to be really useful for you. I brought on one of the pioneers of YouTube. I mean, this guy has been making videos since 2006. His name is Owen Hemsath, but he goes as Owen Video because it's so synonymous with who he is. We talked about two main things in this episode. One is the low-hanging fruit that you can grab or pick immediately to improve your channel. Stuff like the title, the thumbnail, the hook at the start. And then we also talked a little bit about short form content. Owen believes that short form or the shorts on YouTube are the number one way to grow a channel. And he has some really interesting insights about that. He also talked about a couple of cool stories, like when he was on Judge Judy for a mishap that he had with one of his ex-girlfriends, which is really funny. So he's a really, really charismatic guy, a super, super expert when it comes to YouTube, but not just YouTube, also content creation. Obviously, he really knows a lot about copywriting and about just business growth in general. And one thing that I thought was really funny is that his kids were actually sitting in and listening to him do this interview because they're homeschooled. And one of the things that he wants to do to educate them is have them watch how their dad does business. So really, really cool. Can't say enough how cool of a guy he is. So hope you enjoyed the episode. And just before we get into this episode, I want to say that I have a free community on the platform called School. It shouldn't be free. There's a lot of stuff in there that people used to pay for, thousands of dollars worth of resources. So I hope you can get in there. And just before we get going, I want to say that I have a community for podcasters that's totally free on the platform called School. It has tons of resources in there that people used to pay for, like literally thousands of dollars of stuff for free. You can also chat with me in there. And I think it's a really good opportunity for independent podcasters to meet people, get the latest news on what's happening in podcasting and the newest strategies and stuff like that. So the link for that will be right in the show notes. Anyways, I hope you enjoyed this episode with Owen. Let's get into it. Okay, Owen, thank you for being here, man.
Yeah, dude, I'm thrilled to be here. To talk video, talk business and life. This is what I love to do.
Yeah, me too, man, 100%. And I thought we could just get right into it because I know people appreciate that. And because of what you do, you know, like growing YouTube channels, I assume that you weren't like a five-year-old kid who said like, one day I'm going to like be growing YouTube channels. So I want to know, just so context, like what's the story that led you to doing what you're doing now?
Yeah, well, you know, I grew up in LA. And when I was a kid, YouTube was not a thing. I wanted to be on TV and not even the movies. I really loved television. And I remember one year for Christmas, we had two big presents under the tree, right? One was a video camera. One was a Nintendo. And I played the Nintendo for about 15 minutes, but I played with the camera for like 15 years. And even in high school, I was in like a sketch comedy group. We called ourselves the Pentaverate. And that's my first love. My first love is sketch comedy for sure. I have a TikTok channel where I do sketch comedy with my kids. And yeah, we've backed off of it as over the years, like it was a distraction to our family model, but like what a blast we had, like writing skits. And I try to be, so I loved SNL as a kid. I loved Mad TV and I would watch these shows. It's like, man, I want to like make funny skits. And as I got into the real world, I found like the real world doesn't like, you have to pursue Hollywood. And I wasn't willing to do that. You know, I needed to make money and I needed to survive. And I didn't want to be part of that starving actor. I decided to like make a living. And so that's where like my visions, hopes, and dreams were beat out.
You know
what I mean?
Oh yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, I was just like, I went from job to job, man. And it was just like, got really into sales, like anything I could perform. And even in sales, I realized I could sell better if I had better marketing. And so I started to make marketing and I had started with images and green screening. I bought a green screen, man, before anyone had a green screen. That turned into marketing videos. And then I started, you know, I was always making sketch comedy on the side. And we had some sketch comedy videos go viral on YouTube and we made, no money on it. And so it was like, you know, I could do this for myself or I could do this for the business community who would pay me. Like they would pay me just to have this sort of tool, videos. So that's what I did. And I started knocking on doors, man. Like I would go down to like the local business park, you know, where there's like a Home Depot, but there's also like a Philly cheesesteak place and, a laundromat, a karate studio, like mini malls or whatever, like outdoor malls. I would just go in there, bro. And I would just walk in with a camera. And I was like, hey, I'll do a video for you right now for $20 for YouTube, right? Oh, can you come back tomorrow? I'll come back tomorrow for $100. I'm here right now. And it was like 90% of the time, it was like $20. So, started leveraging outbound editing and hiring local kids that wanted to make a couple extra bucks. I did a lot of the editing, stayed up late nights. I had three kids under three. And that's how the company began. And from there, it's just like, they began to call us back. Can you do more? Can you build my Facebook page? Can you like do live streams? And before you knew it, like I was owing video. Like I was the YouTube coach that like has been around since day one. I know if not have worked with like many of the top YouTubers in the country today. And I get to spend my time, however, around business owners specifically and taking sort of like top level strategies on YouTube and then bringing them to the business community and creating these really fun YouTube channels and TikTok shorts and doing some fun stuff. It's like I'm a producer for TV now.
Man, there are so many similarities with what you just said and where my life is taking me right now. What you said about, same thing for me, you know, music is my first love, but the music industry is not. Like it is one, you got to be all in. And to do that, to make money, like to use your passion to then like, you know, grind it to nothing to make money from it. So totally feel you there. And that is what led me to podcasting. And same thing, like, you know, worked on one show, edited it like crazy, took me, you know, forever. And then I was like, I don't have to be the one editing. I could just, you know, teach someone my system. So sounds like you started really organically. You didn't like sit down and craft a business plan or anything like you.
Man, I felt so incompetent because I came from nothing Los Angeles and did not, I was expelled from high school.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah. I mean, bright kid. I was arrested for the first time at 14.
Jeez.
And went on, you know, this path, right? I stumbled getting started in the world. And so I spent the first four adult years of my life really into some gnarly street level stuff, right? So when I realized I could go back and get into video and like I could make a career out of it, like that's what I went all in on. And it was hard to get out of it. It was like hustle and grind, hustle and grind. I felt so grateful to like turn my life around, like I'm walking with God now and like, the Lord's like inspiring the way I live my life. And I meet this woman who I marry and it's like, we have these kids. It's like, oh my gosh, like, how is it that I could be this like YouTube guy, right? Like this person with like esteem and prestige. And I'm very grateful every single day and even on the bad days, you know, but what that helps us to do is to like achieve, right? And like, that's what I'm driven by. I'm so driven to achieve that sometimes it actually drives me a little nuts. You know, sometimes I'd love to just relax while I'm at the beach. You know what I mean?
Oh man, I feel that so much. My fiance tells me that all the time. So yeah, no man, we got a lot of similarities. So cool. Okay, so people have a really good grasp of what they do. And I think a lot of people are going to connect with a bunch of stuff that you just said. So I'm happy that you shared that. One thing that I did want to know on top of that is like, when did you start YouTube? Because like you started in video, right? But like, were you immediately making YouTube videos for people? Was that even a thing?
I want to say that my first YouTube video was uploaded in 2006.
And YouTube started in what, 2004?
Yeah. I mean, it had just gone from this little tiny unrecognizable site to purchased. I don't even think it was Google had purchased it yet. The viral video at the time was The Evolution of Dance. And the very first video that I uploaded was my episode of Judge Judy. So I was on Judge Judy and my girlfriend and I had...
Wait, you were actually on Judge Judy?
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was like a sketch comedy thing.
No, like, okay. So I'm living this reckless 20s life, right? And I'm with this girl. We're Bonnie and Clyde. We do all this stuff. Ends terribly. We're cohabitated. Like she takes all the stuff and then sues me, right? So like I'm working at a radio station, brother. I'm working at a Christian radio station. And I get these lawyers come in or whatever, like the service person is Owen Hemp's out here, you know, and they serve me papers right then and there in the office. And it was so embarrassing. I didn't work there much longer. After that, I was just like so embarrassed. But so we went on Judge Judy and settled the dispute. I got my ass handed to me. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Like I got grilled by Judge Judy. But here's what it did. It like really inspired me to start doing YouTube because I'd always wanted to do video and YouTube was around, right? YouTube was the thing that was around. I go into this Judge Judy studio and it's a box. It's just this little, it's called Bronson Studios in LA. And it's this dirt hole. But then you walk into this room and it's the Judge Judy set. Bright lights, bright colors. There was a studio audience ready to laugh, ready to point at me and like throw lettuce and stuff, you know? And I was like, I could do this with a green screen. I could add special effects. I could add sound effects. And so I began my channel on YouTube. I probably have something around 17 channels on YouTube. And that's the problem with being the first guy there is like when I was there, it was like me, Daryl, and Tim in terms of YouTube coaches. And those two guys trained me. They're still close friends. I was hanging out with Tim this morning, right? Like there was no one to teach us. So I'm going off in all these crazy directions. Some of the first videos I ever uploaded was like, I took my camera to go. I had to get my car re-keyed, right? It has like a chip in the key. So you can't just go copy the key at Home Depot. So I hide my camera into the mechanics. And I'm like, can you re-key? He's like, yeah, I'll re-key it for you. And I'm like, this is what you do. And so that was the video, was me telling people, showing people how to re-key. And it did hundreds of thousands of views. Like everything we did went viral. And then it's like, so then I started a channel, like a talk show. And then I started a, you know, like these, like Christian comedy. And we just started so many different things. But you know what happened? We landed on YouTube coaching, right? And it was like YouTube coaching is what we do now. And that's what we've done. And so I'm known as the guy who coaches people on how to grow on YouTube.
Yeah. And you really are. Like you have a lot of cred. And so I think there's no better person for me to be talking to when it comes to what we're about to really like dig into here. I am by no means a YouTube expert. We are going to talk a little bit about short form. I do have a lot of short form experience, so we can kind of talk about that. But what I want to understand from you first is for somebody who has a podcast that is, you know, podcasts are historically audio medium.
Yes, it's the first thing that comes to mind.
Yeah, exactly. So now we can just easily record video at the same time, which we're already doing because we want to see the person's face while we're recording. So why not just hit record on both and drop the thing on YouTube? Because why not? I mean, it's going to be another place for people to be able to access the podcast. So podcasts, when people think of them, it's like it's an audio only medium. That's what people think of a podcast when they hear that word. But now that we are also recording video, because I mean, we're using video so we can see each other while we're interviewing. Obviously, you want to be able to see the person's face. So why not just take the full video file and drop it on YouTube as well? And so coming from that state of mind, we're not intentionally going out of our way to create for YouTube. So we know that we're not going to get ridiculous reach because we're not, you know, crafting the video for YouTube, which I know is probably important. But what can we do? What are some of the low-hanging fruits that we can do to make sure that the videos we do put onto YouTube from the podcast that look and sound great, by the way, what can we do to make them, to make the channel stand out and look professional?
It's such a great question, right? Because I've been getting this question forever. It's like, hey, I used to tell people you should add a video to that, right? Now, at that time, YouTube was not as competitive as it is today. Like YouTube is a competitive environment. Like it is the best of the best, right? Now, that's true on a national level. But when it comes to like plumbing advice, there's like two guys, right? It's, I would say, Mitch Smedley and, of course, Roger the Man Wakefield, two good buddies of mine. Like, and there's various other smaller plumbing channels out there. When it comes to sort of like your expertise, whatever that might be, your niche, right? There is room to grow. And so you really have to think of your target audience and who's looking for you as this subset of the national, right? It's like you're not competing with Mr. Beast, right? So with that said, it's like as really as simple as just putting up the video, but you have a problem. And this is really important. Podcasting is also a very user, like a private user experience, okay? There are not public view counts posted with the podcast. And we've seen it in corporations where interdepartments are not being forthcoming about like podcast versus anything else where it's public. And it's like, well, that's an issue. And so the YouTube is public and you have to get public consumption for your videos to go out. I'm laughing a little bit because my kids are walking around the room taking pictures of me. And it's like, I knew they were going to do that, but now that it's actually here, it's cracking me up.
Well, we got to keep it in. We can't cut that out.
Yeah, I apologize. That's like throwing me off, but this is really good content that I'm talking about here. So I want to give you like a hardcore takeaway, but I want you to know about this too, is like YouTube watch time is everything. Right? You can have a video do not well views, but get great watch time. And then you'll watch that video soar in 3 months, 6 months, right?
Oh, the long tail of it.
Yes. When you're putting out content that other people are not watching, then that video dies. And if you have a channel full of dyers, if you have a channel full of rocks, then you're going to get frustrated. Why am I paying someone to upload to YouTube, even though it is just quick, even though it was just add value? You're going to deal with a pride issue where I, as a professional, don't like having a channel that's not performing as well as my other channels, right? And so you've got to consider that. And so what we would do is I would say first change the intro. You should have a video-specific intro that is designed to get a YouTube viewer into their headphones. And this is really powerful. This is why YouTube introduced the podcasting platform, is so that you could do this, so that you could tell your viewers, like, hey, look, there's not going to be a lot of video here. So I want to invite you to put your headphones in, put the phone in your pocket, go out into the garden, go on your jog, or if you're about to work out, this is the perfect video because there's not much to look at. Now, we say it differently. We'll say something like, hey, in this episode, we're going to talk about X, Y, and Z, and we're going to interview a guest who really has so much to add to the conversation. So if you're about to go into the garden, if you're about to go to the gym, or you're about to go on your run, I want to invite you to put your headphones in. Not a lot of video here for you guys to be engaged with. Just let us in your ears, listen to the content, really dig in. If you want to leave a comment, we invite you to do that. Welcome to the podcast. Yeah, and then it's, you know, your podcast. But that's different than YouTube. You can't do that with an RSS feed, right? And so you're looking at, let me just go on a tangent here. If you're going to RSS feed, right? Now that comes down to like both. So if you're listening on podcast or on YouTube, we want to invite you to put your headphones in, right? Like there, you can't start your RSS with an ad. Oh, excuse me. You can't start your RSS with an ad if you're going to YouTube, right? Like it doesn't work that way. So think about the workflow, right? Like, how is this video getting to YouTube? And then once they're there, what's the expectation? And then you adjust for that and you'll see tremendous results. It may never go mega viral, but you will have audience there that engages with you in both platforms.
And on YouTube, like the one question that I was thinking with that is like, you know, if you are, and this is something that I actually don't know, when I go to a podcast on YouTube, like the video plays, right? And it's really annoying because if I want to like put it in my pocket and continue working out and shut my phone off, it stops or whatever, right? So then I'm wondering like is there a way to, there obviously is. Is it like YouTube Premium or something? Or how do you actually like play it off?
Okay, so YouTube Premium is the way to go. It's an odd thing, but when you start working in the YouTube space, you start to like recommend, I've recommended it to my clients. It's like, look, you're going to be watching more YouTube, which means you're going to be seeing more ads. So I would recommend like getting YouTube Premium. It's not going to be cheaper. You know, you'll find many people already have it. So you could also get an ad blocker, right? Now I'm getting into the how to avoid ads, but your question was different.
If you're creating like, let's say a YouTube specific intro for someone and telling them to put their headphones in, like do they have to have YouTube Premium to be able to go out and, you know, close the video or anything like that?
Oh, right. To close the video because it's burning in your pocket. Look, here's what I don't know how, I don't have my phone in my pocket when I'm at the gym. My phone is probably in my bag, or really it's in my bag because I don't need, like I'm going from exercise to exercise. I'm also an active gardener. Like when I'm out in the garden, like it's on the porch. I grow my own food, right? Like, and at least I'm trying to not kill the food I want to grow. But I have 2 out of 10 pumpkins left, so we'll see. But the phone's, all, I don't want the phone in the dirt or by the water, right? So it's on the table, right? I find that this like phone detachment is part of my lifestyle. And I feel like many of my clients share my lifestyle. So yeah, there's like the premium thing, but like you can't solve all the viewers' problems. We can go into this whole thing about like, well, what about this? What about this? More people are using YouTube than are using podcast as a whole, as a nation, right? So it's like, it's not about, is it perfect? It's like, I need to start moving over now, right? How can I make my transition into YouTube? How can I start uploading videos and start looking at analytics and start becoming accustomed? What we find is that podcasters especially enjoy the YouTube process maybe differently, but even like a more like, hey, I really enjoyed that. I really enjoyed the YouTube space. So that's what we want to get people used to, is how fun YouTube is.
Yeah. And so like for somebody who is just putting their podcast onto YouTube, what are some of the main things that they should be like, is it thumbnail, title? Like, what are some of the, like, 3 of the main things?
The thumbnail and the title are everything. Yeah, the thumbnail and the title. Like, let's talk about the package, okay? You upload a package to YouTube, right? And this is exactly how television worked. And I, believe it or not, I went to school for television. Now, I went to university much later in life. So I was still young. I was probably like 30, right, when I went back to college. But you can imagine I'm in college with, like, you know, 22-year-olds and 21-year-olds. And like, I actually feel very blessed by it because I got to be not stuck in my generation, right? And yet I had sort of like this like older mentality of like, I need to get my time out of this place and really go. So I learned TV. And in TV, you put together packages, right? It's here's what the package is on YouTube. It's the title, the thumbnail, and the video, the introduction specifically, the hook. Because people experience a title and a thumbnail almost simultaneously. And within seconds, they get an impression of your video that translates into an emotion. And that emotion is either good or it's bad. It's either meh or it's huh. That's it. So is your package, is your title and your thumbnail the first most visible parts of your video? Is it meh or is it huh? Right? Like, get them to pause. Now, how do you do that without clickbait, right? Like, look, one man's clickbait is another man's thank you for being clear and concise in this video. Okay, that's enough flash pictures. Now I'm talking to my kids because they're getting a little carried away. Now that I've said, mentioned them once, I love it. I love it. Thank you guys. Now take a seat and listen. Part of their home education is to listen to dad and to learn what dad does and to understand how business language.
Are they homeschooled?
They are homeschooled. Yeah. Home educated.
That's a really good idea because we're going to probably do that too. That's a really good idea. I love the idea of doing that. Just having them sit in.
Lifestyle. We get to train our lifestyle and train our kids. You know what I mean? Like, that's the way that we see it. And they're learning business, man. Like, my kids are learning businesses and starting. Every one of my kids has over 1 million views. We've already talked about like the monetization that's allowed. Yeah, like it's like, look, you're allowed to monetize because they have their own sub channels too. It all fits into their home education too, right? Like, you're doing this for your art class, but it's also going to go on the channel and we're going to see how it does. And you'll develop audiences and email lists. And here's the deal. It's like it all goes in the trust until high school and blah, 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 right? So it's like a thing that we do, right? It's like we're building our empire here at home. But we were talking about the package. So you've got the title and the thumbnail. It doesn't matter how good your video is. If they don't get past the title and the thumbnail, the viewer never sees your hard work. The viewer never sees how hard your wife laughed. The viewer doesn't know any of that. So they don't care that it was like, you spent 3 weeks on this video. I hear so many creators, I spent 3 weeks on this video, as if you're owed the views, right? So title and thumbnail, it begins like, I want to make a video about blank, about my podcast episode is called Blank. Right? How does that look on YouTube? Title and thumbnail, right? Your thumbnail should never repeat your title, and your titles should reflect the video, should reflect the value that the video viewer wants to see, right? So it may not be like 7 tips to make a better thing. It might be like why all your things are terrible and how to fix it, right? Now, after that, you've got your hook, and that's the last part of the package, man. Like, they've clicked on your video. You got them. Now you got to keep them. You got to keep them for at least a minute or two, man. And where we lose people, I've seen it. I've uploaded 1,000 videos, way more than 1,000. Like, the stats are, it's the first 30 seconds of the video is where you lose people. And we lose people in prattering on, right? Like, hi, guys. Welcome to the channel. Today, oh, my gosh. I had so. Like, that is like a 2002 vlogger thing that all got embedded into our minds, right? When you speak to the viewer immediately and confirm that the title and the thumbnail that they clicked on is indeed the video they are here to watch, and here's some other bonus things they're going to get by watching, that's a powerful video. So structure your hook, your podcast opening, whatever it is, to be the first thing the viewer hears and value for them so that it matches whatever title and thumbnail. We'll even refilm a hook if we feel that the one we filmed on site didn't work well enough.
It's the same thing as podcasting. And the biggest mistake that I see people make is, you know, they bring a guest onto their show and the first 2 minutes is like reading the bio and then being like, hey, what's up? You know, like, what's new, man? What's new? Oh, you know.
I hate bios.
Yeah. My like big shift that we have people make like early on is like you said, 1, 2, 3 things that the guest said, why you should care about what the guest says, like what makes them, and then what makes you worth listening to. And also, like, you have to imagine, especially in podcasting, that like people are just going to come to your most recent episode and hit play, even if it's their first time listening. So like, what are you going to do? Like, you're not going to introduce yourself for like every episode because people, what, are they going to go back to episode 1 to find out? Like, that nobody does that. So I don't know if it's similar with YouTube, but that's 100% on with what you said there.
There's a way that we introduce ourselves and we do what's called a YouTube launch, right? So we take our clients through a process where they will launch their channel. And I've got a guy right now, 20,000 subscribers, Facebook ads guy. He's relaunching his channel, right? Like that's what we have to do, is just like a hard algorithm reset. And YouTube is so forgiving in the algorithm, right? Like there's nothing 5 new videos can't fix. And what we do is we go through this process of creating binge-watchable sets of videos that get a viewer from one to the next, right? That is a core strategy. Now, there are other strategies as well, right? Like you may want to rank for high-impact terms, what may be called SEO, right? Trending terms fits into that category. Right now, it's AI, right? So when you're creating this podcast, you're not going to have the binge-watchable opportunity because you probably got an hour show. And so you want to think about, is the hour the right way to go, or is it 20 minutes, right? And I find that 20, 25 minutes is like a great sweet spot. But considering the total runtime of the show, right? When you have a longer form show, it's going to be more difficult for them to binge watch. So you have to create your show to keep them listening the full 20 minutes. And we like to look at this as like kind of like hills and valleys, right? Where your hook is that first one. That first, you've got to bring them over the hill, and now it's downhill as you go into your first couple of points. Everyone's like, your first couple of points better be strong, right? And we always tell them, leave your best point at the end, put your second best point at the front, you know? And it can't sound the same as everybody else, right? Like we're working with a doctor who's made some videos. And the first tip in her thing was, it's like how to lose weight. The first thing is like, drink more water. And it's like, I'm going to punch you in the face. I've heard so many times I need to drink more water. Now, here's the thing. She says, drink more water because water cleanses out your liver. You can't lose weight unless your liver is detoxed. So we reframed it. It's like step number one, detox your liver. Right? And now you go back. How do you do that? By drinking lots of water. So step one, detox your liver. But you're offering something new, you know? This is like the essence of YouTube. Like, I know we're diverting from the question a little, but it's like, what's your strategy for this show, right? And if you mention, let's say you're a carnivore guy and you mention keto and you know you got another podcast on keto, maybe you got 4 of them. Mention that in the show, right? Be like, now we got 4 other podcasts on keto, and I put those in the description box if you're on YouTube. So check those out if you get a chance. And now you're giving the viewer reference point, and you're creating depth. You're like, oh, this is more than just like a one-off creator who I stumbled onto their show.
That's a crazy good tip.
So I could go on. I don't want to like just jibber jabber, but
you're dropping things in there that I like. So, okay, that's something that I didn't even think about. Like, it's mostly because I think that the real like value of doing something like that comes as your catalog of content builds. So like I'm almost at episode 50. You're going to be like 53, I think, or something like that. And so just now, I'm starting to see the power of like all the stuff that I recorded before. So when I talk about something like this, if I do something on YouTube or video in the future, I'm going to bring people back to this one and bring people back to the next. And so that's a really, really good idea. Like you just tell your, you know, whoever's editing your podcast, like drop this in the show notes, like drop these past episodes in the show notes. And that gives people a way to know, because otherwise, like, it's difficult to search through a podcast feed if you're using something like Spotify or Apple.
It really is. No one does it well. And that's why like another strategy for podcasters on YouTube is embedding it into your blog. Now, what makes that valuable for us is we write 2,000 word blogs with our AI tools. And we've been doing this for a long time. Before there was AI, it was content spinners. And we were doing that, you know, because it's not every one of your videos, right? Like it's not every one of your episodes. Some of them are interest driven and it's like, it's not worth the energy. So not all of our videos go into our website, but there are certain videos that belong, that it's like we made them for the SEO value, right? And so that's what I mean. It's like, there's like different strategies. So like as you're choosing your episodes, right? You could look at that thematically. And this is what we call the season strategy. And this is really what I bring to the industry because like I came from a TV radio background and I'm applying that to YouTube, which I think is really productive. Now, there's shows are created in seasons, right? You go to Netflix and there's like a 6-part miniseries on Waco, Texas, right? Or you might see like a 6-part miniseries on baking, right? Baking on an engine, like you, whatever you bake has to be able to drive. Like there's a literally a show I was watching. I love baking shows. I'm revealing so much. I'm like, oh, I like to garden. I watch baking shows.
Yeah, we're really getting the full picture here. No, I love it.
Yeah. Does this guy work? Does he work at all? You know, but my point is it's in seasons, right? And if the season works, they'll buy another season. That's why a lot of seasons, they'll start with like 11 episodes. I think the first season of Seinfeld is like 11 episodes. And after that, it's like a mini season. It's like 22 is your average season. So on YouTube, what we've been utilizing is a season strategy where we're making content in groups so that we can develop specific audience sets, right? So you're going to do like, right. So you do podcasts, you know, it's not, I think podcasters are often driven by who will interview and who do I think I'm good enough to attract? And it's like, you know, it's like, get the bigger guests, dude, or like 90% of the guests I hear are terrible. So don't like, just think about a 20-minute rant sharing your knowledge sometimes, right? Like, what if you did 6 podcasts with a guest and then you did 6 others that are just sort of like intellectual rants, like your rants on crypto. And even if you did beyond that, not just crypto, but you did like XRP, right? So you're like, in the next 6 episodes, I'm going to teach you everything you need to know about XRP and whether or not you should be investing in it, starting with episode 1. And it's like, what is XRP and who owns it, right? And then episode 2, that video ends, that episode ends with now that you know, like WEC is involved with this, like, okay, do you invest in it? Well, I'm going to cover that in the next video. So watch that video next. I'll see you there.
Boom. And of course, now you've just quadrupled your retention from episode to episode, because people like podcasters, what we're seeing is that podcast listeners do a whole lot of like, they'll come for 4 episodes, 6 episodes, binge them, leave for 2 months, come back, you know, 2 months later and do another. And so not so many people are actually tuning in weekly to listen. It's not how people thought it was. People thought that they would mark it on their calendar and every week they would come back. It's not. It's like, they're like, they remind themselves 2 months later, oh, now I need help with fly fishing again. And so they immediately like, you know, come back and listen to 4 episodes again. So yeah, so that's the way that it's going. So seasons, amazing, amazing idea. I think people should be implementing series more. So just briefly before we go, because we did say that we were going to do this, can you just talk about shorts? Because what you said to me on our first call and what I heard on the training that we're going to link below, which is, dude, that should not be free. That should not be free. But anyways, you said that it was the number one way to grow a YouTube channel. Did not think that was true.
Yes, shorts are incredible. Anybody telling you that shorts are poisonous or not good, like you got to be careful where you're getting your information from, because in the top circles of YouTube, like it may be that a guy who's doing shorts and has 100 million subscribers, or a guy who's doing videos and has 100 million subscribers, sucks at shorts, right? Or maybe their goal is to make a bunch of money on shorts. You can't make money on shorts, right? Shorts are all about brand exposure. So shorts should be absolutely your face forward strategy, right? Like that, I'm going to start with shorts and I'm going to see what hits and I'm going to let my shorts develop into my episodes. Well, I mean, I don't believe in repurposing, right? Like it's not that it doesn't work. It does. And but it's like, to me, it's a low percentage and a high labor, right? Like I need, even with AI, like we love Opus Clip, but even with Opus Clip, it's like, you still have to manually scrub through the videos that are good. And then the ones that are good, you're probably going to have to edit a little bit. And so it's like, well, should we do that? Or should we just edit them from the front? You know, and then it's like, well, what if we just sit in front of the camera and I'll just rant on 25 topics. I'll do a 35-second rant on 20 topics and we'll edit those into shorts. You know, tens of thousands of views. I mean, for our clients, I mean, I have millions of views with reels and shorts because they go on Instagram and they go on YouTube. So I would encourage your listeners to think about, instead of repurposing your podcast into shorts, or in addition to maybe grabbing a good clip or two here, actually sit in front of your camera and just give me like 35 seconds, like tip, right? We talk about that more in the training. So take a look at that training. Like you said, it shouldn't be free.
Yeah, no, it shouldn't be.
I've been hearing that my whole life. Jeez Louise, I got to like increase. So it's free for now. You guys better grab it now.
Exactly. There you go. Yeah. So that's going to be linked, like, you know, easy to find in the show notes. I watched through the first half an hour before this. And yeah, it's like, I mean, it's like an hour and a half of like the most like high level but it's like also implementable and actionable. So,
and a PDF guide. There's a PDF guide in there too. And I think the link is owenvideo.com/shorts.
Yes, it is.
If you want, just go download it right now. But that's, go look at the show notes. It's a great training.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you, man. Really, really appreciate this. Good to have somebody on who has expertise in something that I'm kind of daft at. So thanks for making the time and appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Hey, it's my pleasure. And I look forward to seeing you online.
Yeah, likewise. See ya. Hey, just before you go, I'm really happy that you made it to the end of this episode. It means the world to me. I only want to ask for one thing in return for putting together all this content for free. And that's just leaving a review if you can, wherever you're listening, if it's Apple or Spotify. Just leaving a quick review is super, super helpful for us. It's going to help more people find the show so I can keep putting this content together for free. Thank you so much. And we will see you on the next episode of Oh My Pod.